Fire me up.
Go ahead.
Today we're going to talk about the parable of the sower. Amen. You know, Brad Scott said that this is the foundation of all parables. Turn to Mark 4, verse 13. Slight difference there. Mark 4, verse 13. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?" This parable is the key to understanding all the parables, and this is the key to understanding the kingdom of God. It's the parable of the sower. Jesus is going to explain to you what happens. People ask me all the time, "Well, folks came, but then they left. Why? Folks did this, and then they left. Why? This happened here. Why?" They always ask why. Let me tell you, it's all in the parable of the sower. If you understand this parable, you will not only understand why other people leave, but you will understand how you can stay. Amen. That's more important, isn't it? Than understanding why somebody else left, isn't it more important to know how you can stay? This is the church of Jesus Christ. You cannot put yourself in it, and you cannot take yourself out of it. I can't put you in it, and I can't take you out of it. It all revolves around this parable right here and how you handle the seed of God. And this is the seed. It's in your hand. The Word of God is the seed. I was talking to some people last night, and they were talking about a particular evangelist who's asking for a $130 seed, a victory battle seed. Sending money to some televangelist is not a seed. This is the seed. And what you do with this seed determines whether you come in the church and whether you stay in the church. Hey, it's all how you handle the seed. It's all of what happens with the seed in your heart. Matthew chapter 13. This parable is the key. If you don't understand this parable, you won't ever understand any parables. Matthew 13, verse 1. That day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, and still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Do you have ears to hear? Every time Jesus uses that phrase, "to him who has ears to hear, let him hear," this is something that you've got to pay total attention to. He's talking directly to you, and if you don't have ears to hear, whoa, you're gone.
Wow.
That simple. You cannot afford to pass over anything he says, this statement. If you go back and you do a word study on that phrase right there, it will chill you to your bones. You got to pay total attention to this, and you got to get this. As he said in Mark, if you don't understand this parable, how can you understand any parable? You can't. Now, the disciples came to him. Remember, we last talked about discipleship, right? Are you a disciple? The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And so the theologians say, to give them a clearer understanding, to help them to know what's being said, to relate his spiritual teaching to their earthly lives. Who are you going to believe, the theologians or your Bible? Jesus said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you." It's been given to you. You come to hear. This is the most unusual church you'll ever go to in your life. And the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. The understanding of what's in this Bible and understanding the kingdom of God, your place in it, how you move in it, how you grow in it, how it affects your life, the revelation's been given to you. It's not been given to them. You can draw a great big dividing line. Sabbath on one side and Sunday on the other. It has not been given to the Sunday side of anything. By taking the lie, they took themselves out of the truth. But not to them. It's in the verse right there. But not to them. It's been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more. Oh, wow. whoever has will be given more, and then he will have an abundance. But to him that has not, even what little he has will be taken away from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. You ready? This is why he speaks to them in parables. Though seeing, they will not see. Make the understanding clearer. Though hearing, they will not hear or understand. To relate it to their life so they can understand it. He's telling you straight out. He's telling it in parables so they won't get it. But it's been given to you if you want to be a disciple. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They cannot hear with their ears and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and repent and I would heal them. We went over that before the Feast of Tabernacles. Repent is turning back to Torah. If they don't hear with their ears and they can't see with their eyes and they can't perceive with their understanding, then they will not return to Torah and he will not heal them. He's speaking to them in parables so that they will not understand. It's given to you. It's not given to them.
That's right.
Look, we're coming up on that time of year again when they're all going to worship the little round man in the red suit. It wasn't given to them to understand. Without getting off into a different message, in 1 Corinthians, each in his own turn. You are the first fruits. You get it now. They're not first fruits. They don't get it now. They'll get it when they come up in the resurrection. They've been given over to the lie. To you, the secrets of heaven have been revealed. To you, it's been given to understand. So I'm going to ask you today, how much do you value it? How important is it to you? You've been given the secrets of the kingdom of God. Do you treat it like they treat their understanding in religion? Or does it really matter to you? Does it really make a difference in your life? You see, because how you treat this seed, how you treat this seed makes all the difference in the world.
Yes.
But blessed are your eyes because they see. Blessed are your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Abraham didn't get what you've got.
That's right.
Isaac didn't get what you've got. Jacob didn't get what you've got. You got it. The whole deal from start to finish. They didn't have it all. They only had it in part. They are not made perfect or complete except with the addition of us. But we have it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. People come in here all the time. Hear the word preached, the seed goes out, they don't understand, they don't want to do the studies, they don't want to take the CDs home and learn, they don't want to get with the program, and the devil comes and snatches it away, right away, gone. No profit, no seed, over. This is the seed sown along the path. Then the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. And you hear me say, when you come in, you must put a taproot down in the Torah right away. But he has no root. He has no root. And so when persecution arises because of the word, hey, when you go to work and tell them you don't eat pork, don't tell me you don't get persecuted, because as soon as it comes out of your mouth, you're not eating that. It gets on, right? It's right there. As soon as you go to work and you tell them, I'm not going to be a part of the office drawing for Christmas presents. Woo, Jack, it is coming on you now, baby. I mean, look, you don't fight the little round man. You hear what I'm saying? I got guys in the buy here, pay here business, and they know they're not going to get a car payment in December. They know it. It's factored in your bill. They know they can't fight the little round man. Now, if you stiff them in January, you walk it. You hear me? You stiff them in January, you walk it. But they know they're not getting a house payment, the car payment in December. They can't fight the little round man. You sit in the office with them and they'll tell you, we cannot fight the little round man. Tell them you're not going to keep Christmas and watch the party start, baby. I don't care where you're at or who. Man, I'm a German. I got a German family. We're the ones that brought Christmas over here. Did you know that? The English didn't bring Christmas over here. The English had fled the old country, outlawed Christmas. It was the Germans in the 1800s that brought it. Try going up in that household and tell them you ain't going to keep Christmas. They're not even religious. But, buddy, when you come up against Christmas, Jack, it's on, baby. It's on. I didn't have any problems with none of this wacky religion I'm in until I told them I wasn't going to keep Christmas no more, baby. And it was on like neck bones, man. It was a, woo, Jack. I mean, it was on. Persecution because of the word. You're going to have it. You know why you're going to have it? I'm not going to turn there. If you go to Matthew 24, it says, where a body is gathered, there will be the vultures. And the Lord gave Lanisa revelation. The vultures come to snatch people out. As soon as the people come to the body of the church, the vultures are coming to pull you out. You know why God is doing that? You can hear me. I said, you know why God is doing that? Because you got to be tested. You get a piece of truth, you get a piece of word, you got to be tested. Do you really mean it? Are you playing games with me? The vultures are there to pull out the people that don't put the root down. Oh, that's some preaching right there. That's some preaching right there. Don't shout me down when we get in it. You got to be tested over every piece of the word. And if you get seed and you don't put that root down, guess what? You will fall away because of persecution, because persecution is coming. That's just the way that is. You got to have it inside yourself to say, I'm going to... Look, Paul went to the Bereans, and the Bereans examined the scriptures to see if what he was saying was true. That's the way you got to do it. Don't believe me. Believe the words of this book right here. We send you home with the CD so you can take the time to go through it in Bible study and prayer. Hey, you'll find out that what I'm telling you is straight. You'll find out that what I'm telling you is backed up. If you take the whole Bible from Genesis to maps, you'll find out that you can put this puzzle together. It's not that difficult. The seed. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Then the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it out, making it unfruitful. Okay, everybody has the cares of life. Everybody has the cares of life. This thing quit working. I think the battery's dead. Everybody has the cares of life. Everybody. Everybody's got car payments to make. Everybody's got rent payments to make. Everybody's got to pay the utilities. Everybody's got to take care of the house. Everybody's got to run laundry and buy groceries and cook food and tend to children. Everybody has the cares of life. The difference is some people let it choke out the word, making it unfruitful, and some people take the word to heart and learn how to discipline their walk so that everything is done in balance. Balance. Everybody's got to wash clothes. Everybody's got to bathe. Everybody's got bodily needs. Come on. But some of us make time in and among all of that to get the word and to get the prayer and to get, come on, and to get the time in worship. It's all in how you balance your time out. Everybody's got the same 24 hours in a day. Everybody's got the same 365 days in a year. It's just some people got the discipline to not let the cares of the world choke out the word, and some people are just lazy. Come on. Come on. But the man that produces a crop, first 30, then 60, then 100-fold, is the person that hears the word and takes it to heart and puts it to practice in their life. Then you'll bring forth a harvest for the Lord. You know, when I first read this parable, it scared me to death. When they first explained this to me in church, it scared me to death. Because I could see in my life how easy it would be for the devil to come along and snatch that word out of my heart right there on the path. Or how easy it would be for me to receive it with joy and not get the root down in time and be burned off with the persecution. I could see how the cares of the life and owning a small business at that time, a lawn service, and all the work involved with that, the hard manual labor involved with that, could easily choke out the word. So busy working and running and going and doing that I would not have the time. Got even worse when I became a car salesman. I could see how easy it would be for me to take the seed and be an unprofitable servant and lose everything. So I prayed And I beg God to let me produce a harvest for him 100-fold times what was sown. This is something to pray over. This is something to earnestly get on your face and beg God that you can produce for him a return. You know, we think in linear terms, right? 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. God does not think that way. One corn seed in the ground produces a corn stalk. And that corn stalk puts out two ears, each with 256 grains on it. Wow. So one produces 512. That's God's way of increase, not our way of increase. See, we're thinking 1 + 1 = 2, and 2 + 2 = 4. We're thinking small potatoes. God is thinking big. One makes 512. 30-fold what was sown. Come on, somebody. Come on. That's the way we need to be thinking about the Word. The Word. Verse 11. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. This is such a tremendous law of God. You cannot escape this law. This law is going to dominate your life and your time in God's church the whole time you're in it. Because what's going to happen is every time you bow up on a piece of word, and you don't take the time to dig it out and make sure it's right. You don't make the effort to change. Come on somebody. If you don't make the effort to live the word that's sown, then you start losing right there. Right then when you blow up, you start losing what you got. You start losing what you got. You got to be willing to go forward every time it's presented and every time you see it and every time you dig it out and search it out. Hey, you don't get a lot of time to tarry in a place. Come on. When I got confronted with being a vegetarian, I knew I had to change. Not next month. Not 2 years from now. Not when I get around to it. Come on, y'all know that, right? Around to it. Not when I get around to it. I knew that right there I was being tested. And if I didn't move forward on the word, I was going to start retrogressing. Come on, somebody. Look, I didn't want to do it. I was invested in that. Mama tell you, I'd been an evangelical vegetarian for years. I was invested in it. I was going to have to go back around to all those people and eat crow. Come on, you guys don't even know what I'm talking about. You ain't even done some of the stuff I've done. And when you've been stupid on that scale and you got to go back and fess up, come on. I had to face heat everywhere I went. Well, I'm not a vegetarian anymore. Oh, it was on now, baby. Hey, you never been in the kind of messes I've been in, and you get confronted with word and got to change. Y'all just got that little lightweight stuff, you know, normal stuff. Come on, I've been pressing everybody that had to be a vegetarian, they're going to die of cancer. Come on, I've been pressing it hard. When I had to go back and give it up, I had to eat crow in a lot of places. You just don't even know, man. But I had to do it because I was shown in the Word that the man that eats only vegetables is weak in the faith. And I knew my salvation's at stake because if I don't go forward, I'm going to start going backwards. You don't get a choice. When someone confronts you with the dietary laws and you just got to have your little stuff, guess what? You're going backwards now. You're going to start losing even what you got. Y'all don't think it's know what I'm talking about. Look here. I came out of a church that talked a place of safety, and that was one of our main doctrines, and we pounded the podium over it. And now they're giving it up. They're giving it up, and they're losing all kind of other stuff. You cannot go backwards on anything. Once you got that truth, and you got that truth in the Bible, you got to roll forward with it, because it does not matter who you are. God's no respecter of persons. You start going back on the word, you're going back. It's either a race to the top or it's a collapse to the bottom. You wonder why the Sunday churches are the way they are. They've all been through the collapse to the bottom. Somebody got offended over this. Do you have to press that hard, Pastor Bill? As soon as you back up on any piece of word, it's a collapse to the bottom. I cannot back up on the Sabbath things that I know. Oh, do you have to be so strict on it? Hey, it's the word, baby. It's the word. We're either in it or we're out of it. Do you have to press the holy days? It's in the word, man. We got to go forward. Do you have to have such loud music in the worship? It's how we have the manifest presence of God. I can't go back. Well, do you have to be so crazy with all those tongues all the time? Hey, look, man, it's in the Word. We either go forward with it or we're going to start losing even what we have. It's a race to the top or a collapse to the bottom. So, no, we're not backing up on it. People get offended, and I don't like it, but you know what? That's the way it goes, because we're either going to race to the top or we're going to collapse to the bottom. If we start governing church by what everybody's not offended on, then we're going to look just like everybody else out there. It won't be the church where Jesus shows up anymore. It'll be the church where we all just look around and go, isn't this nice? We're at church today. That's it, because we won't be able to do anything, because somebody's offended over something on virtually everything. Come on, think about it. This is God's Word. You can't fight it. You can only use it. When you turn away, you start losing from that moment. When you embrace the Word of God and make the necessary changes in your life, you begin to increase from that moment on. Mark chapter 4. Don't ever stop embracing the things in your Bible. Prove it all things. Prove it. Prove it. Don't just take my word for it or Kelly's word or anybody else's. Get in the Word and dig it out. Take the CDs home and do the Word studies. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. The farmer sows the Word. The seed is the Word. The farmer sows the Word. It's not a financial offering. Money can never be the Word. Money can never be the seed. When you hear those televangelists telling you to put your seed in their ministry, turn the TV off. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. It's the only seed there is. There is not another seed. Well, you know, I was thinking about that, bringing that book in here. You know, did you ever wonder why God told you don't sow two kinds of seed in your field in Leviticus? It's a law in Leviticus. Don't sow two kinds of seed in your field. He wants a pure harvest. There's the seed that's the Word of God, and there is a seed that's the word of the devil. When you mingle the seed, it's unholy. There's a whole teaching on that, and that's not today's message, but you just think about that one. It's in Leviticus, I think it's chapter 19. Don't sow two kinds of seed in your field. He don't really care about your field. He cares about your heart. The seed is your mind. I mean, the field is your mind. He don't want, now look, I don't want to get too graphic here. Why do you think chastity is so important on the part of women? I mean, I got a house full of women. They always jumping on me. How come the men can do this and the men can do that, but the women got to be so pure? How come the men can do this and the men can do that, but the women got to be so pure? How come the man can have four wives and the woman can only have one husband? Right? Valid argument. All right. But you're missing the most important part of everything. Why does the woman have to be so pure? Because he's showing you something of tremendous spiritual importance that's far beyond anything in the human realm. You can only receive one seed. You can only receive one seed. A woman that receives two seeds is called a whore and a prostitute and a harlot. Because you can only receive the seed of the Word. And if you try to receive the seed of the Word and the seed of the devil, that's a heavy word. That's a heavy word. That's why everything in this ministry is word focused. That's why everything we do is around messages, giving them out in CDs, giving them out in CD sets, giving them out in books, giving them out in booklets, putting on events where more word is preached. Everything here is word focused, because that way your financial offering becomes seed. If your money becomes seed, and everything you contribute in here goes back into seed, then that's producing a return. Come on, we gave out 300 something booklets last Sunday. Kelly and Jeremy and Aaron went out and distributed booklets. And Lorenzo distributed 300 something booklets and put them on doors. That's seed going out. Every time you take a CD off the table, give it to somebody. That's seed going out. Every time somebody calls on the internet or emails or writes us and says, I want this set or I want that book, that's seed going out. We send boxes of seed to Kenya. We send boxes of seed to India. We send boxes of seed to prisons. I've sent a whole boxes of books to that one prison ministry we help out. That's seed going out. Those guys got all day with nothing to do. But read. These books are being dissected, sentence by sentence, virtually diagrammed. I mean, they're into it so deep. Because they got nothing to do all day but read. Come on, when you get really bored, you'll read over and over and over again. Same thing, right? Come on. So that's seed going out. That's word going out. That's people who have gotten themselves in such bad trouble that we had to incarcerate them. And now they're able to wash their brains in the water of the word. Come on, somebody. That's seed going out. You know, when I first started in this, you know, we didn't even have CDs. They didn't give you CDs, okay? You had to borrow a tape and bring it back. You weren't even allowed to make your own copies of it. You were to just borrow it, use it, and bring it back. Come on, Sandy remembers these days. It was, you got to keep tapes? Oh, man, you guys were living large over there. In the worldwide, you didn't get to keep your tapes. All right, I would listen to every tape three times. I would listen to every, yeah, but free, but you couldn't have it. When everything's free, you can't have it, right? It's free, but you can't, come on. I mean, y'all don't get that. Well, yeah, but it was our tithes paying for it for you. Come on, and you couldn't have it. So I would listen to every message, every week's message three times over the course of that week, trying to get the word, get the word, get the word, get the word, go over the word, go over the word. Go, look, you only get and retain 10% of what you hear. You only retain 10% of what you hear if you're actively listening. Come on, and everybody bugs out at 45 minutes. I don't care who you are. 45 minutes, your attention span bugs out. Boom! And you're off. And you start thinking about something else. And you think about work. And you think about lunch. And you think about the kids. And you come on, everybody's human. That's just the way your brain works, right? We used to have 90-minute messages, and you could count on everybody bugging out at 45 minutes. Boom! It takes you 5 minutes to recover your attention span and get it back. Come on. That's why you've got to take the CDs home and really go through them, because you see, you can only get so much from sitting in here, and then the rest of it you've got to dig out during the week. Come on. Come on. Matthew 13, verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. It says in the book of Proverbs, with all thy getting, get understanding. With all thy getting, get understanding. Do not let the evil one snatch the word from your heart. Look, Jesus already told you that the evil one is going to come to steal the word. So what are you doing with your seed? You already know you're going to have to fight over this week's seed to keep it. You're just going to let the devil have it? I'll come and take it away. I don't really want it anyway. Man, this is the precious secrets of the kingdom of God we're giving you every week. We've been talking about prophecy. You just wait until next week. I got so much prophetic stuff I'm going to throw in here next week. I'm going to blow y'all away, man. I'm going to blow y'all away. And if you ever read Come Away, how many of y'all have read Come Away with me? Man, all I'm going to say is, I told you so. That's all I'm going to say before I told you so. Zeets and the Coke, that's not good. You got to get in the Word. See, you're getting the Word in an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. You know, Sandy and I didn't come up, Bev didn't come up in an era where you could get the seed delivered to you in an outpouring of the Holy Spirit so that you could have it watered to sprout right here in the hall. We didn't get it that way. We got it dry, baby. You had to go home and get your own water. Come on, somebody. You know, we having all this worship and this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Man, we had three hymns, and then, you know, come on. Come on, they weren't even good ones. Look. Yeah, no, it wasn't no raising hands and no talking. I mean, that was when we invented talking up in the service in United here in Jackson, that was a novel concept, man. No one knew how to act. You didn't. We invented talking up during the service, you know, when somebody said something. We started that right here in this hall. I mean, that don't go on anywhere else. And now they've gone to the Masonic Lodge. They ain't doing it anymore now. I mean, it's dead silence when the man is talking. You're getting it in an outpouring of the Holy Spirit so that your seed's getting watered while you're here. Come on, value that now. Come on. We didn't get it that way. Week after week, you're getting understanding about the kingdom of God poured into your life. Week after week, you're getting it in an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to water the seed, to nourish your heart and your mind, to make it ready. You know, there are people on the CD list who long to be in this service. I've got people that call me up and email me. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff they email. They would literally give their left arm, some of them, to be able to sit in this service that so many people here just take it for granted. Isaiah chapter 6. I want you to see what Jesus is talking about, that he gives these parables. Isaiah 6, verse 9. Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused and make their ears dull and close their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and teshuvah and be healed. He did not mean for the people of his day. He does not mean for the many of today to understand what he's telling them in this parable. It's been given to you. Here you have a prophecy in Isaiah, which Jesus is telling you he fulfilled by speaking it where they wouldn't understand it. It's been given to you. How valuable and precious is it to you to have the secrets of the kingdom of God? How, you know, the old timers, we call it the truth. We call it the truth. To know that the law is not done away. To know that Saturday is the Sabbath. To understand prophetic events. The world doesn't understand prophecy. They don't have a clue who the players are in prophecy. And they make up every fiction of their minds and all these myths about what's going to happen. But you know what? I get these crazy emails all the time and they've all been wrong every last time. Oh, watch out for October of 2009 because of this and this and this. All of these things are going to happen and nothing happened. And they're telling us to watch out now. Obama's out of the country in November. Something big's going to happen in November. And this one's going to do this and that one's going to do that. They've been telling me this stuff for 5 years, but I can come up here and tell you what's going to happen. How come I can tell you what's going to happen and it happens the way I tell you? Huh? Amen? I got a stack of papers that thick I'm bringing in next week and I'm going to show you what I said in that book is happening already in front of your eyes. How can I tell you that? Because it's based on the Word of God, which endures forever. You've been given these precious secrets. People are running around looking for secret knowledge all over the place. You don't have to have secret knowledge. It's out in the open. But the eyes of the people are blind to understand. And their ears are dull and they cannot hear. It's been given to you. Matthew chapter 13. It's been given to you. How important is it to you to have the secrets of the kingdom of God? How important is it to you to know the truth of the coming rescue of the saints? Come on, somebody. How important is it to you to know what you got to do to be rescued? Come on. Verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found it. He hid it again and then in his joy went and sold everything he had and bought that field. Is it worth that much to you? Is it worth that much to you? And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found that one of great price, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is what to value. This is what to treasure. What is important is the understanding of the word and applying it to your life. You know, we talk about the rescue. And it may not seem very important today with the cares of the world and all the things going on. But you know what? 20 minutes after the rescue, if you didn't make it, it will be the most important knowledge you ever had in your hands and in your head and in your ears. If you miss the rescue, there will be nothing more important to you than the knowledge of what and how, what you had to do and how you had to do it. You see, the secrets of the kingdom of God that we are exposing week after week after week to you and teaching you from the Holy Word is the most important knowledge you will ever possess, the most powerful knowledge you will ever have. It's truly worth selling everything you have to get it. But you know what? God didn't ask you to sell everything you had to get it. God didn't ask you to give up everything you own and all of your family members to get it. He just asked you to start keeping it right now in this society. You know what? We talk about how bad things are. Things are about to get a lot worse. Y'all realize that, right? Things are about to get a whole lot worse. You realize that, right? January 1st, the poorest of us are going to see a $1,000 tax increase. You realize that, right? You realize, no, actually it's almost $2,000 tax increase. You realize that? Let me explain something to you. January 1, you lose the 10% bracket. That's a $600 increase right there in your taxes. January 1, you lose the make work pay tax credit. That's $400 increase in your taxes. January 1, you lose half your child tax credit. Depending upon your children, that's a $2,000 tax increase. January 1, the poorest of us go up $2,000. Didn't want to hear it here first, huh? Well, I'm a bookkeeper. But you know what? With all of that, we still living in homes with heat and running water and air conditioning. We still driving cars to go to work with heat and running water and radios. As David Yabiri will tell you, our brethren in Kenya are not living the way we're living. They're not enjoying life. They're not worried about losing weight over there. They're worried about how much they're going to come on somebody. They're worried about if they can get enough to eat. And we lost, what, two people last year to starvation and disease? Come on. Times are good here. And all we got to do is walk this out and show God that we're willing to do it. And you know what? People in America whine and fuss all the time and say it's too doggone hard. There's times I thought about closing this thing down and sending all my money to Kenya because those people appreciate it. David will tell you, they appreciate what they got because they value the knowledge of the kingdom of God as the pearl of great price. While we're stubborn and fat, dumb, happy, and spoiled over here.
Yes, we
are. Matthew chapter 13. You don't have to follow somebody out in the desert, live in a commune. All you got to do is follow a few simple rules in the Bible and pray in the Holy Ghost. I don't know how much easier he can make it. Matthew 13, verse 16. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and blessed are your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear. Baruch atah Adonai, do your ears hear, do your eyes see the truth of the kingdom of God that we're laying out for you every week? Mark chapter 4. Verse 24. And look, I'm putting some heavy word out today. Consider carefully what you hear. Consider carefully what we're teaching you. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Luke chapter 8. My dad used to say, don't make me tell you twice. I'm showing you three times. Three times in the Word. Verse 18, therefore consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Sabbath, holy days, dietary laws, tithing, cleanliness, care of your ground, proper treatment of your friends and foes. Belief is understanding followed by the appropriate action. Do you believe he's coming? Do you believe he's the king of a coming kingdom? Do you believe that his death paid for your transgressions of the Torah? Have you experienced the infilling of his Holy Spirit? Then the appropriate action in your life is to walk this word out by the rules and the regulations of his Torah. And to compare and contrast those rules with the more stringent requirements found in the four Gospels. Matthew 13, verse 20. You can just keep your hand in 13. We're going to keep going back and forth to it. How much time I got, brother?
About 35 minutes.
Oh, I'm doing good. Verse 20. The one who receives the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to test every one of us to see if we believe it. Just reading in the Torah this week about, you know, God requiring Abraham to go sacrifice Isaac. Every one of us is going to be tested. He's got to know, man. He's got to know. If you understand that you are going to be made a child of the Most High God and transformed into the likeness of the resurrected Christ right now, then you will realize that you must be tested first. He's not going to put God life in you while we're still running around acting stupid. No, we've got to take the word into our lives, believe it, transform, live it, and make the changes, because when he knows us and we have passed the test, then he can transform. Come on, somebody. If you're still quibbling with him over trifling things like whether or not you're going to keep his Sabbath or follow the dietary laws, he can't put God life in you. You'd turn out like the devil and become an adversary. No, no, no. As long as we're in flesh, we can be killed and destroyed. So we must be tested while we are in flesh. And when we make the decision that I will obey no matter how much it costs me, no matter how bad it hurts me, no matter how bad I've been ostracized, no matter how bad my friends hate my guts, when we come to that, then God's like, I know him. I can trust him now. Now I can make him my son or daughter. Now I can raise him up with God life, because now I know them. We got to go through the test. It's the people that don't go through the test that don't make it. Because every one of us is going to get tested.
Yes.
You know what it says? Isn't that what it says? We got to be willing to go through the test. God has to know if we're real. Why does God have to know we're real? Because we've already shown him we're not. Come on. We've already played the fool. We've already done the stupid stuff. We've already been confronted with the truth and decided we wanted to lie. Now we got to show him that we're willing to dump the lie and go for the truth. Now we're willing to tell him, I'll get rid of the snake flavor. I want the cow flavor. I got that wrong. We got to tell him we're ready to get rid of snake flavor because we like lamb. We got to get rid of the snake flavor. We got to start liking that lamb. It'd be amazing when people tell me at Passover, I don't like lamb. Yeah, till they have it, yeah. Oh, but trust me, you've never had it right. You'll love this lamb. Oh, no, I don't. You'll love it, you'll love it. You'll be beating off people for more. No, I don't like lamb. We got to get rid of the snake flavor, and we got to take on that lamb flavor. Oh, man, lamb gravy on grits. Come on, somebody, there ain't nothing better. Lamb gravy on grits, man. Woo! Man. I must be the only one from the South. Verse 22. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man that hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. Lots of people start out well. It's not the people that start out well, it's the people that finish. Lots of people start out well. It's the people that finish. Finish is coming soon, y'all. Maybe y'all don't realize. You're living in the last days. Stuff is going on. Y'all been watching the news? See, here's the problem. When you turn on the television, that's not news. That's propaganda. They're not telling you what's really going on. They're showing you a puppet show. You're seeing the puppet show. Oh, the Republicans, the Tea Party took over. That's the puppet show. Did you see what was going on behind all that? No, you didn't see that. The Federal Reserve is going to pump out $600 billion to debase the dollar. What do you think coffee costs so much more in the grocery store right now? They're debasing your currency in front of your eyes. Look for $4 gas before the winter's over. If he really prints $600 billion in new money and pumps it out there, you'd be looking at $5 gas by Memorial Day. See, no one's really thinking about this. Oh, weaker dollar, yeah, we're going to get more jobs. No, you're not. You're going to pay more for everything. Coffee's an international commodity priced in dollars. When dollars goes down, the price of coffee goes up. Coffee didn't change, y'all. The dollar went down, so you're paying more for coffee. Coffee in euros is the same price. Oil in euros is the same price. Gold in euros is the same price. It's not that the gold price went from $400 an ounce to $1,350. It's that the dollar collapsed. See, you're not looking at it right because we're looking at it from an American perspective. But the price of all these things isn't going up. It's not evil, greedy businessmen like the politicians say, all those oil companies are gouging. You know they're not. Your politicians are killing your money. Exactly. Now, I'm going to put some stuff on you guys next week. It's going to blow your mind. I'm telling you, I got a stack of papers that thick. And it's not the whole papers either. I just pulled out the sheet I'm using at each one. I got some stuff that's going to blow your mind. We wrote it back in 08 telling you what was going to happen in the end times, and it's happening the way we told you. How could I know that? Because what I'm telling you is not based on conspiracy theories. It's based on the Word. There's more in here to absorb about what's going to happen than all the conspiracy theories in the world. If you master this, they fall away like chaff because this is what's going to happen. And it's happening. It's happening. The truth, the Word is the seed of God. If you take the Word in and you do not let the deceitfulness of wealth and the cares of this life choke it out, it will become fruitful in your life as you live it out. This is where the power of the parable comes in. Verse 23. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man that hears the Word and understands it. You hear the Word. You understand the Word. You're taking the CDs home. You're going through it. You're taking the books home. You're going through it. You're looking the verses up. You know, in the books, I quote so many huge tracts of Scripture so you wouldn't have to look it up. You know, in the books I used to read, they'd have a little phrase out of a verse, and then you had to go look the verse up to make sure that it actually said that in the Bible and read the context of the passage. I decided, you know what? I'm going to save the reader the time. I'm going to quote the whole doggone passage so you can't miss it. Not just the sin, I'm going to put the whole thing in there. So you don't got to put the book down and dig it up in the Bible. You can just read. Easy reading. Hey, we like that, right? Easy reading. So you don't got to stop and compare and contrast. But you know what? It will pay you to do the comparing and contrasting the second time you read through, because that way you'll be able to look in the Word and you'll find your Bible passage is exactly the way I quoted it. And you'll find out that I told you the straight truth the first time. The Word, straight on, baby, straight on. 1 Corinthians. This is something to pray about right here, that you absorb the Word, you get the Word, and you bring forth a harvest. First 30, then 60, then 100-fold. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 5. What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field. We sow the seed into your life week after week. Doesn't matter who's up here teaching. We're sowing you the Word week after week into your life. We're sowing the seed into your life week after week. None of us is anything. We're just servants up here of the Most High God, sowing Word into your life, pouring our hearts and our minds into the prayer and the worship so that the power of God is made manifest, and that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit can water the Word and can help the Word to grow and be fruitful in your life. What kind of ground is your heart and mind? What kind of ground? Have you worked your ground? Have you prepared your ground? Are you ready to receive the Word? Do you want the Word that's presented? You see, this is your part in the game. Like I said, this parable, the parable of the sower, is explaining to you how you've got to handle the Word of God. You get to make the choice whether you let the devil snatch the seed out of your heart. You get to make the choice whether you put a root down in the Torah or you don't. You make the choice whether the cares of life. Come on, everybody's got the same 24 hours in a day. We all have the same cares. Everybody's got to wash clothes, cook food, wash dishes, buy groceries, tend to kids, pay the bills. Every one of us has to do all of that. I work two jobs, okay? Think about it. I work two jobs and do all that. Sometimes three, yeah. Two churches. Pastor, two churches. Okay, I still got to make time in my life. I still got to make time in my life for the Word. Just like you got to make time in your life for the Word. Everybody's got to make time for the Word. Everybody's got to make time to pray. Everybody's got to make time to get alone with God. Everybody's got to do it and do all that other stuff too. It's a doable deal. It takes discipline. Oh, but that's the root word for disciple, isn't it? It takes discipline, but that's the root word for disciple. So if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you got to have the discipline in your life to get on a time schedule. And you know what? We all want that lazy day. Come on, somebody. We all want that lazy day. But you know what? After you get disciplined and you take a lazy day, you're going to feel bad over the lazy day because you're going to realize how bad you messed up. That lazy day, after a while, is not going to become something that you long for. All that day to just lay around. After a while, you're going to realize, man, the clock is running out. The clock is running out. The man's got the gun for the two-minute warning, and he's about ready to fire. We're almost in overtime. It is time to get right or get left. You hear what I'm saying? It is almost time to get right or get left. I'm having dreams now about the rescue and how it's going to be. I'm not going to tell anybody any more than that, but I'm already having dreams about when and how and where. And let me tell you something. Most of us are not ready or prepared for those situations. And it's all about getting in this Word right here and loving it. Loving this Word, caring for this Word, getting your mind in this Word, and valuing it. If it's not the pearl of great price for you, you're not going to make the rescue. And you'll learn in the tribulation why this was the pearl of great price that you didn't think was so valuable. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. We present truth in here that you don't like. Do you bow up? Meekness and humility are not about your countenance. Meekness and humility are about you following God. And when you're confronted with something in here, He's right, I'm wrong, and I get over it. That's meekness and humility. It's not about your countenance. You know, we always love to see these people walking around, and they seem so humble, but then they'll be the very ones that bow up on the Word. They'll be the very ones that come across something in the Word they don't like, and then they won't give, they won't yield. Hey, humility and meekness that matters with God is when you're confronted with the Word, you yield to the Word. Come on, something in the Word you don't like, come on. Everybody's got something in the Word they don't like. Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's." I've had a problem with that from the time I first read it. I don't want to give Caesar what belongs to Caesar. I don't want to give him respect. I don't want to give him revenue. I don't want to give him tax. I don't give him none of that stuff. Guess who wins? Caesar gets it all from me. I don't want to do it. But humility is yielding to God and doing what He says, even when I don't want to do it. Come on, somebody. Everybody comes across stuff in the Word they don't like. What do you do? When we present you Word and you don't like it, do you bow up or do you go in the Word and do you verify the accuracy? I expect you to verify it. I don't expect you just because I said it's in the Word that you go, oh, okay, I'll do it. I expect that you're going to go home, look the verses up, do the Word studies, cross-reference it, and then when you see that I told you straight, I do what God says. Always, I do what God says. That's how you survive. Don't let false apostles steal the seed from your heart, because they're out there. They appear as angels of light, and they appear as workers of God, and they come on a right regular basis. Like I said before, Lanice got the revelation from God that where the body is, there the vultures will gather. The vultures are sent by God to tear people out who will not put the root down in the Torah, who will not confirm the Word. The testings come, and the vultures snatch away the people who refuse to yield to God. False workers, false apostles, they come in all the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, their end will be what their actions deserve. If anyone tells you to disobey the law of God, they are a false apostle. I don't care what church they're in. I don't care how wonderful they are. I don't care how great they look. I don't care how smooth they speak. Oh, well, Pastor Bill, they're nice. They're not like you. Don't let them steal you. Don't let them steal your seed. Don't let them take away from you the secrets of the kingdom of God. I don't care how smooth and nice they are. I don't care how wonderful they look. I don't care how big their car is or how fancy their house is. False apostles masquerading as servants of God. If they tell you that you don't have to pray in tongues, don't listen to that nonsense. If they tell you you don't have to live by God's law, don't listen to that nonsense. If they tell you, oh, you don't have to worship with that old loud music, don't listen to them. That's how you access the presence of God. He's here, you know. He doesn't come everywhere. Don't take it for granted to the place that you overlook the fact that he actually walks in this room right here where we're having service during our worship. He doesn't do that everywhere. This is not just a little outpouring of spirit. The Lord actually shows up in this place. You can access him if you want him. But you've got to come for it. You got to want to access him. You got to want to be touched by him. You know, it's the hunger that you bring in during the worship that gets you in the door. It's the lifestyle you live outside there that makes you holy and worthy to be touched. It's here. This is not masquerading. This is not false apostles. No one's a deceitful worker. We're not portraying lies to you. We're giving you straight truth. The Lord gave Lanice an incredible vision 2 or 3 years ago now. And she saw this multi-dimensional image of Jesus under his tallit. And the four wings were four of the books of the Torah, Genesis and Exodus, Deuteronomy and Numbers. And in front of him was a giant double-bladed sword, which was Leviticus. He stands in the center of the Torah, the Bible code. In Genesis and Exodus, the Torah is spelled, every seventh letter is a T, an O, an R, or an H. Come on, y'all have had Hebrew class. I shouldn't have to explain that to you, right? Torah, Torah, Torah. Every seventh letter, it was repeats the pattern, T, O, R, H, for Torah. Okay, over here, it's backwards. Every seventh letter is H, R, O, T, H, O, H, R, O, T. Right? It's in backwards. So it's pointing inwards to Leviticus, Torah, Torah, Torah. But in Leviticus, every 50th letter repeats the pattern, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. Okay? He's standing in the sword. When you're standing in the Word with him, you're safe. But when you step out of the Word, you get cut. The Word cuts. When you want to contradict the Word, you get cut. You don't break God's law. You disobey God and God's law breaks you. You don't break God's law. You disobey God and God's law breaks you. You want to follow the dietary laws? Go down to the hospital and look at how the people end up. Come on. Don't talk any junk. You don't want to follow the dietary laws. Go down to the hospital and the cardiac ward and look at how they are. Go in the pulmonary ward. You want to smoke? Go in the pulmonary ward and see how they end up. Go in the cancer ward and see how they end up. You ain't going to fare no different. You disobey God and his laws break you. This whole nation is about to be broken like a stick. Because we've refused the Sabbath, and we've refused the holy days, and we've refused tithing. And I'm going to show you how it's going to be broken next week. It's going to be broken like a dry stick because we've refused God, we've disobeyed, and we're about to be broken. God told us it was going to be 7 down years from the Feast of 07, and we're only halfway there. Y'all are ready for this, right? We got a long way down to the Feast of 2013 before it turns around. Don't listen to all those lies out there. This is a 7 times for our sins. We had 1 7 times with our sins with 7 especially destructive hurricanes over 2004 and 2005. We had another prophecy from Leviticus where it was going to be, I'm going to knock the fruit off your trees. And for 3 years we had weird freak late hit freezes that burned all the buds off the fruit trees. You realize your fruit doesn't come from America anymore. Now we're in a 7 times length duration for your sins. Oh, we're going on. Anyone that tells you disobey God is a liar. Grace means that you can sin. Remember the snake in the garden. That's what he told you. Grace means you can sin. The snake in the garden told you that. That doesn't come from God. That comes from the liar. We must learn to get the snake flavor out of our lives. Love without commandment keeping just means you're a nice sinner. Love without commandment keeping just means you're a nice sinner. Okay, do you really care if you're nice and you go into great tribulation? Is nice that important to you that you want to go into great tribulation, have your head cut off? Look, they're not just going to line you up and cut your, oh, you accept Christ? Okay, put your head in. They're not going to be so nice. They're going to torture you first to make you renounce Jesus. Then they're going to cut your head off if you refuse. If you don't refuse, they're going to brand a mark on you. Don't let anybody fool you. This is coming. They're going to put a mark on you. We showed you from the days of unleavened bread 3 years ago how when you keep the holy days, that's God's mark on you. That's God's mark on you. If you got God's mark on you, the other mark won't go. if you've already been marked by God, the other mark don't go. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. Hey, that's what I mean about the truth. That's what I mean about the truth and it being so precious to you. Once you really understand that keeping his commandments is the mark of God. Once you understand that obeying the commandments, all the mitzvot, is the mark of God, then how can you not live it anymore? Because so you don't want the other mark, right? But now look how easy it is to give up the mark of God. Unleavened bread will start on the night of April 18th. How easy it would be for you to just blow it off this year and lose your mark. See? The truth is a double-edged sword. When you're in it with him, you don't get cut. But when you step out to disobey, that sword is going to cut. And he's swinging it, and it will hurt. How would I know that? See, some of y'all are just like me. You're going to test him and find out. Just remember, when you test him and find out, you can still come back home. you just remember, when you test God and you get hurt, the door is still open and you can still come back home. Don't go out there and mess up and get all tore up and say, I can't go back home because I messed up. Don't ever say that because you can always come back home. Amen. This is home. You can always come back home. We'll still love you when you come back. Yeah, you might hear, I told you so, but that's okay. You won't mind. After you've been tore up out there, you won't mind to get back in the house. It'd be all right. Verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have a sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Because you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God. All men are like grass and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. You see, the truth must precede the love in order for it to be the love of God in your heart. you know, your love is not up to the task, nor can it ever be. But when we're going to live by His commandments and we're going to worship by His Spirit, then He's going to pour His love abroad in our hearts. And when He pours His love abroad in our hearts, His love is up to the task. Come on, somebody. Our love is never going to be good enough, but His love is always good enough. And if we'll obey His commandments and worship Him in the Spirit, then we'll get His love and not our love. Hey, come on, somebody. It's the new man we're trying to cultivate here. The old man's got to stay dead. And he keeps wanting to kick his head up out of there, and you got to push it back down. Come on. So let the Word of God dwell in you. Let the Word of God, amply watered by the Holy Spirit, bring forth a harvest into your life. Then it will be God at work in you. Human love is going to fail. Human commandment keeping will fail. Human compassion will fail. But the Word of God abides forever. Base your faith on God's power. Base your life on God's Word. Love one another with God's love, and then His power will see you through to eternal life in the kingdom of God.